And welcome back to The Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. And in our next segment, we're going to be chatting with two good folks from the Pachamama Alliance, both the founder, Bill Twist, and also someone working with them on the Rights of Nature movement. And that is something that is being discussed in the Pachamama Alliance offices this hour. I want to welcome Bill Twist to The Green Front. And I think we also have Mari Margill. Bill has been someone I've been following. I'm a big fan of he and his wife, Lynn Twist. They started something called Pachamama Alliance, and my office was right across the hall for them. Yes, Sean Hannity, that's how good of friends they are, and have admired their work and am part of their 4 years ago campaign. So very pleased to have you on short notice, Bill. Thanks for joining me.
Great. Thank you, Betsy. I'm happy to be on. And it was great seeing you do such a great job yesterday on Sean Hannity.
You held Thank you. It's not easy going on
well.
There.
No.
Thank you. People think I'm crazy, but someone's got to do it. And I think as the facts, you know, are more and more clearly on our side, they look dumber and dumber, frankly. And having Chris Horner, my nemesis, bathed in blue light, looking like some kind of space alien, couldn't hurt. Couldn't hurt.
Anyway.
At least they didn't put me in green light and make me look like a Martian. He's the one who looked like an alien.
No, you look good on there, I thought.
Well, thank you. And last time his voice was messed up, and Sean Hannity said he sounded like he was on some kind of spaceship. And what I should have said was, well, if they got out of their spaceship and were looking for signs of intelligent life on planet Earth, they would not find it at Fox News. I always think of the great lines afterwards. And, of course, what I should have said when Chris Horner was asking his really dumb questions, and we are going to play the clip in a few minutes, you'll hear for yourself. I should have said you can keep saying those things until you're blue in the face, but it's not going to change the science. Of course, he was already blue in the face.
We always think of those things later.
Yeah, so when they said they wanted to talk about Van Jones and this radical group, Pachamama Alliance, I said, I would love to. So when they found out that I was a friend to both Van and you, proudly, certainly fans, they were all over that. They thought that was going to just indict me from the get-go. So, and they called Van radical, Pachamama an obscure radical group. What's radical is the storms that are swirling and killing people and knocking down buildings as we speak, not to mention rising seas and all the other many, many signs of global climate change. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking and let you talk about Rights of Nature first and then a little bit more about Pachamama's work and 4 years ago campaign.
Okay, thank you. And Mari Margill is going to join us in just a second, I think. We're trying to figure out how to get her on this call. And Mari is not an employee of Pachamama Alliance. She works with an organization called the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, which is the primary organization. It's a nonprofit law firm, really, that is the primary organization that has been advancing the whole movement of rights of nature around the United States. And when she gets on, she can talk about it. But one of the things that's really interesting is where that movement is advancing most rapidly is in rural conservative parts of the Midwest and Pennsylvania, where communities are coming together and finding that rights of nature ordinances built into their local community charters allows them to exercise their own democracy around their communities and prevent the destruction of the environment in their localities from outside interests. It might be mining operations, siting of hog farms that these communities don't want, but they have no control over, and that the rights of nature legislation is giving them control over their own self-determination. So it's really a conservative movement. It's not a liberal movement, which would be useful for you to have known and been able to talk about with Sean. So how Pachamama got involved in this whole rights of nature movement is the Pachamama Alliance has been working. We've been working in Ecuador for years. We got started there working in the Amazon with indigenous people 16 years ago. And out of our work in Ecuador, where we became very closely tied in with and aware of the political situation, the dynamics between the indigenous movements and the outside interests working to develop the country, we've become very well connected within the country. And 4 years ago, a new president was elected and a decision was made to write a new constitution from the ground up. And we had come across Mari Margill and her organization's work and thought that this idea of rights of nature that they had been advancing in rural communities in the United States would be an interesting idea to try and introduce into a legal system at the top, at a constitutional level, rather than starting it from the bottom at a municipal level. And so we, through our foundation in Ecuador, we worked with the Constitutional Assembly, the indigenous movement, and got this idea introduced into Ecuador's constitution. One of the obviously biggest supporters of the idea of rights, of nature having inherent rights to exist and persist, the biggest proponents was the indigenous movement in Ecuador. And this idea is not a new idea. This is an old idea that's totally consistent with the way indigenous people have known the world actually works and the way people actually do exist within inside an ecosystem that they're not senior to, but that they've got to learn if they want to enhance human well-being. We need to make sure we have a mutually enhancing relationship with our natural environment. So indigenous people have always had this understanding of the human's role in ensuring the mutual enhancement of the human-earth relationship. And so a legal system that elevates not nature above the human, but at the same level as the human, where both the human and the natural systems have inherent rights to exist, to persist, to provide the services that they provide. That whole idea, once the indigenous people, who were initially suspicious of white, kind of the outside world writing into their constitution that nature had rights, it sounded like such an arrogant position. So another arrogant position of the human. But once they recognized that this was really trying to build back into a legal system, making the legal system reality-based, making it conform to the way they really know the world works, they got behind this movement. And with their support and the support of the environmental groups working in Ecuador, a provision granting inherent rights to nature got included in Ecuador's constitution, and it was the first country in the world that has done that. And that was something that we were instrumental in putting in place. And since then, we've been working with a number of groups, about a dozen groups around the world that work on this issue of rights from Mother Earth, Earth jurisprudence. There's a number of ways of saying it. But we've been working with about a dozen organizations around the world in forming what's called the Global Alliance for the Rights of Nature. And that was one of the things that Fox News picked up when they noticed that Van Jones was on our board and that the Pachamama Alliance was working to forward this idea of a global alliance for the rights of nature. That was the Global Alliance's existence, I think, was one of the things that caught their eye. We were just at, there was just a meeting at the UN, a General Assembly discussion around sustainable development in harmony with nature, where this whole idea of rights of nature was also talked about and got a lot of press coverage just a week ago. So that may have been what raised this to Fox News's on their radar.
Which has been a lot of you on the radar, which is fabulous. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we are, I mean, I think we are an obscure organization, and it's good to have any attention is good. I think we're pretty certain that what we're doing is not, we don't even see it as, it's not a left-right issue, what we're doing. I don't think preserving our ecosystem is a left-right issue. Building a harmonious, mutually enhancing relationship between humans and nature, I don't think it's a left-right issue. I think it's an issue of just wisdom and survival. And if we do want to make sure that we're enhancing the well-being of future generations, we need to figure out how to enhance the well-being of our natural environment at the same time.
That's right, and they always talk about, you know, freedom. There's no freedom or not worth much on a dying planet, you know, to quote David Brower's comment. He is just outrageous, he being Sean Hannity, in his perpetuation of lies and disinformation. And they do it knowing, I can't believe that they're, you know, really believing what they're saying. And so shame on them, I guess, is what what I want to say to them, and hopefully in some way did. I think Mari's on the line to join us, maybe
That's
to add
great.
Something.
Good to be here, Betsy.
Thanks, Mari. So are you, in fact, meeting to talk about what to do next with the Rights of Nature movement?
We are. We've been meeting with folks at the Pachamama Alliance, including Bill, folks from the Fundación Pachamama based in Ecuador, with folks from South Africa and elsewhere over the past several days to strategize about what are the next steps that need to be taken. And the work that we are doing in the United States, which is expanding, for example, as Bill mentioned, a number of rural conservative communities from central Pennsylvania, from New Hampshire and Maine, have now adopted rights of nature laws, so legally enforceable rights of ecosystems, which empower people within communities to actually be able to defend the rights of ecosystems, because under our existing structures of law, nature is treated as property and it has no rights, much like slaves had no rights and women had no rights until we saw major shifts in consciousness and major changes to our constitution. And that, I think, is where we are right now in terms of rights of nature. It's part of a historic expansion of the body of rights, and communities in these rural conservative places are the first ones in the United States who are beginning to take this and put it into law so that the people in the communities in which they live are able to protect their own lives, protect the natural environment, protect their livelihoods. It's a matter of self-determination for them. It's a matter of empowering them to protect the place that they live. And so this began in the United States, and Ecuador did this phenomenal, and back in 2008, phenomenally put it into their constitution, becoming the very first country in the world to recognize rights of nature in its constitution, and thus base its system of protection of the environment on this idea of rights, as opposed to this idea that nature is property, a thing that we as humans can use and exploit. And so over the past several days, we've been talking about how do we bring this to more places as more and more people contact us in the United States, from Latin America and from around the world, who understand that our existing structures of environmental laws and regulations are all in favor of and all in the purpose of forwarding harm to nature. So when we license something, when we permit something like a factory hog farm in the United States or elsewhere, when we permit something like gold mining, what we're actually permitting through our environmental laws is that kind of exploitive activity, and we put some regulations around it to make it seem a little better, but it's about allowing that harm to take place. And what Ecuador has done, what communities in the United States have now done in recognizing rights of nature and rights of ecosystems, is turning that entire paradigm on its head. So it's understanding that a new paradigm is needed if we're actually going to survive on this planet. It's well past debate that the climate is far worse and far more accelerated in terms of climate change than what scientists previously thought. It's well past debate that our fisheries are disappearing, that our ecosystems are collapsing, that we're losing fresh water, and we're going to have a crisis about water around the world in the not-too-distant future, that species loss is far more accelerated than at any time in Earth's history. And we're well past debate on those issues, and Fox News or others who decide to fight about that, they're fighting a debate that's long since over, and with an understanding in these communities and an Ecuador and elsewhere that the way that we've been quote-unquote protecting nature over the last 30, 40, 50 years isn't working. It's not that these laws are inadequate, that they're working from a fundamentally wrong premise, one of exploitation and harm of nature. And what these communities in Ecuador has done is turn that on its head such that their laws now are recognizing the need to first and foremost protect the natural environment, and it's absolutely essential if we as humans are going to continue to be able to exist and survive. So it's fundamental to the lives of the people in these communities, the lives of the people in Ecuador and the ecosystems there, to make a fundamental change in the relationship between humans and the natural environment.
And so I dared put forth a radical notion that we humans are part of nature, and for that I got about a dozen nasty emails in my inbox this morning, including several death threats. Pretty outrageous and scary.
You know, I think that
people are so threatened by that concept, which, as far as I can tell, is pretty basic.
It's right. The same argument that was advanced when the abolitionists first formed and when the suffragists first formed, such that their ideas that slaves should be considered as rights-bearing people, that women should be considered as something other than property, those ideas were considered outrageous, they were considered radical, and the people that were advancing those notions were considered tyrannous and terrorists. And those sorts of arguments we're still hearing today when it comes to nature's rights, because moving something from being property to being rights-bearing, that has always been fought It's fought until the consciousness begins to shift. And that's the work that we're really talking about and we've been talking about over the last several days, is how do we begin to move consciousness? And we think that happens through lawmaking, driving this into law, which helps move consciousness, and consciousness helps to drive law. It's amazing when you look back at the arguments advanced against the end of slavery, against suffrage, that those arguments are the same ones that are repeating 200, 100 years later. And so we know and we anticipate that our arguments are going to be made by Fox News and the others. And I think it's our responsibility to be able to make the case for and on the understanding of that if we don't do this, that we're not going to be able to survive, and our communities aren't going to survive.
Including them and their grandchildren. I always wonder what planet they have reservations on, that they're so smug and arrogant about these things, as if they've got another place to go. We have to go in about 2 minutes, and I don't want to let you go, Bill, without a word about my favorite campaign 4 years ago. I got goosebumps when you introduced it at the luncheon two luncheons ago, and since it is a four-year campaign and it does have an urgency element, give us a quick synopsis of what the goal is and where you are about a third of the way into it.
Okay. I want to do it, I can actually do it in the framework of this Rights of Nature work. One of the things we're seeing about the Rights of Nature work is that it's really hard work on the ground. It's organizing, it's community organizing, and as Thomas Lindsay, who works with Mari Margill, says, you know, this is a 30 or 40 year campaign, and we don't know that we've got 30 or 40 years. And so that recognition was one of the inspirations of the 4 years ago campaign. The recognition is that we're on a totally unsustainable path. We actually have the tools and technologies to do something about it, but we don't. And what's needed is some kind of a global movement that shifts the consciousness, that creates an inspiration for us to build a new future. And it needs to be done soon. And so soon for us was 4 years. By the end of 2014 was actually the timeline for this campaign. So what we're really trying to do is mount a global movement of people who are standing for a thriving, just, and sustainable future for all. And our theory is that if we can build that kind of a campaign and movement, and with the tools of social networking, social technology that exist now, that it's really possible to unite the world around a vision of a sustainable, just, and thriving world, and that we can do that, and that can cause something to shift. If we can shift the consciousness of humanity, shift the priorities of our human family in the near future, by the end of 2014, if we can create some kind of a shift, a building of collective will, that the kind of work that Rights of Nature is doing, that Thomas sees that naturally it'll take 35 years, that something will shift, and this can crack open, and in a very short period of time, a major change in consciousness and law could happen, and it could happen soon. The what happened in Ecuador was unpredictable. 4 years ago, nobody would have predicted that a country would have put Rights of Nature into its constitution. It's still unpredictable what could happen next, and with building a global movement, which is what 4 years ago is about, it's inspiring people by the urgency and the opportunity of our times. I think we can shift humanity into a different direction such that it doesn't take 35 years for Rights of Nature to become an idea whose time has come. It can happen in the next 4 years. And so 4 years ago is about making Rights of Nature become an idea whose time has come in the next 4 years. And it's about making new economic models and new ways for people to live in harmony with each other and with nature to be something that's the main priority for humanity by the end of 2014. It's not everything gets solved, but that there's a new set of kind of guiding principles that's organizing humanity. And
that we turn
that's
the ship around.
Doing. That we turn the ship into a new direction.
And we are out of time. I thank you so much, Bill Twist and Mari Margill, for spending time with us. We will follow up when we have a little bit more time on this Rights of Nature movement. It is fascinating. And we will post a link to Pachamama. If you can't spell that, go to my website and you'll find out how to get to them. They do wonderful work. The 4 years ago, especially timely. And we'll be going right now to the clip if anyone wants to hear it. If you haven't seen it or heard it yet, stay with us. But I want to let Bill and Mari get back to that very important meeting on the future of the Rights of Nature movement. Thanks
Great.
Again.
Betsy, thank you very much.
And we'll be in touch as the good work continues.